Blog Talk Radio.
Don't believe what you know to be true.
What's going on?
There's no such thing as common sense.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Radio, where despite what some people on the left would have you believe, there are some things that were true in the past and they still work today. You know, things like personal liberty, personal responsibility, personal accountability. But you knew I was going to say that. Well, I am, as always, your host, The Chief, coming to you from the outskirts of Portland, Oregon, where I'm kind of happy to report that for the first day in a week when I ventured outside the bunker, I was not inundated by the smell of the smoke from all the wildfires that have been going on around. It's sky is dark still, but it looks more like just a regular haze. It's kind of gray. It's not the brown I had been looking at. So maybe this episode is behind us. I'm not sure. But whatever. If you would like to join the show, the number here, as always, is 949-272-9588. Now, if you look at the title of the show, I called it A Pair of Kings. Now, if you're familiar with some of the things I've said in the past, you would think maybe this is a reference to the game of poker, which I find has a lot of metaphorical lessons for life in general, but that's not exactly what I mean. Although, I may get to a little poker reference later on down the line, but what I wanted to talk about today was two kings from history. Now, one of these kings I'm actually old enough to remember, and the other one, well, even I'm not quite that old, and I'm pretty old. But the first king I want to talk about is Martin Luther King. As we all know, back in 1963, on an August day, he gave a speech, gave a lot of speeches, of course, but he's best remembered for his speech, which contained the words, "I have a dream." And his dream was, he saw a day when people would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I think I can get behind that idea. I think pretty much all of us can. However, today, only color seems to matter. Black lives matter. Now, we all agree that black lives matter, but the way they're putting this is, to even think that lives that aren't black matter is somehow racist. They think that the worth of a person is determined by their color, the color of their skin, not by the content of their character. And so what are we seeing today? There are people of very questionable character were being held up as heroes. Why are they being held up as heroes? Because they are being judged by the color of their skin. I mean, speaking of kings, we can go all the way back, 30 years now, more than that, Rodney King. Now, what happened to him was not a good thing. However, it was kind of things that he did. He kind of brought it on himself because the man had a history of being a person of perhaps not the finest character. But when the people that beat him, after a fair trial, presumably, where they, like all defendants in trial, went into court with the presumption of innocence, and it was the duty of the prosecutor to prove their innocence, they were found not guilty, this sparked massive riots, which of course caused, among other things, a man by the name of Reginald Denny to be pulled out of his truck and beaten almost to death, based strictly because nobody knew the content of his character. It didn't matter. The color of his skin was wrong. That's how he was judged. And moving forward in history, what about Michael Brown? Another person who was held up as a hero because he was killed, somehow a martyr. They tried to portray the guy as a gentle giant. You look at the record, the guy was a thug. But the color of his skin was such that he had to be judged as a hero. The content of his character didn't matter. More recently, who can forget? There's plenty I can name. George Floyd. This guy had convictions for assault, armed robbery. Obviously not a man of great character. But did anybody judge him by that? No. The color of his skin meant that he must have been killed by the cop, even though it's been determined that he died of a drug overdose. But no. Things like drug use and felony convictions, matters of character don't matter. He has to be judged by the color of his skin. And, of course, moving up closer to the present day, who can forget that wonderful stalwart citizen who should be held up as such a hero that when something bad befell him, the current Democrat Party candidate for vice president had to visit his family to recognize his heroism? Yes, I'm talking about Jacob Blake, a guy who was arrested for domestic battery, charged with rape, had a warrant out for his arrest, and if you watch the video, pretty clearly almost goaded the cops to shoot him. But all that doesn't matter. His character flaws are irrelevant because color of his skin. Now, I've said here and in other places my observation about such things. There's lots of different types of people in the world. Some can be grouped into just absolutely great people, kind of you want to know, want to hang out with. And there are some other people who can best be described, I guess, as total a-holes. But what do these two types of people have in common? They both come in all colors. See, character matters. Color doesn't matter. We have to judge people by the content of their character. That's what Martin Luther King told us. That's what most reasonable people believe. However, that's not the way it's going these days, is it? You know, kind of strange, you know. Yesterday, you know, when I just jumped right out of bed at the crack of noon, and while I was, you know, cooking my breakfast or lunch or whatever you want to call it, and I was listening to the 17 voices that are constantly screaming in my head, but one of them somehow mentioned Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I remember back, you know, when she was first nominated, she said, yes, it would be good to have a wise Latina woman on the court. And you know what? I got no problem with that. A wise Latina woman is fine. But the key is not Latina woman. The key is wise. It's wisdom that matters. I think it's, you know, whether Justice Sotomayor has wisdom or not, I'm not going to try and dissect. But the point is, a wise Latina woman is a good thing on the court. But so would be a wise Asian man, a wise Black woman, a wise Native American man, a wise white woman. Wisdom is a part of character, and that's what we should be judging people on. Not race, ethnicity, gender. Those things don't matter. It's wisdom that we want on the court. And, of course, I have to use the term wisdom because I have to segue into my second king, the one I am not quite old enough to remember. But speaking of wisdom, you have to think of King Solomon. Now, anybody who's followed this show follow the show in any kind of detail, you know, I'm not really a religious person, but I have from time to time used references from the Bible to tell stories, make points, because you see, a simple fact of life is like I mentioned at the very top of the show, there's some things that don't change. One of those things is human nature. It hasn't changed since biblical times, really hasn't changed since prehistoric times. What motivates people to do what they do? I mean, those are the simple facts of life. And so the ancient wisdom still applies. So whether or not you believe that the Bible is the Word of God doesn't matter. What matters is anybody with a functional brain cell and at least one functional eye and ear has a clue what's going on can realize that there is a lot of wisdom in there. I mean, it's not just the Bible. I mean, you can go back to like almost as old as the Bible, or maybe older than some parts. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Great lessons for, I mean, that's where you start any military training or for strategic thought. Starts with Sun Tzu, because the ancient principles he put out of how to discern things, view problems, make it's all the same, and it applies not only to warfare but to businesses, a lot of things. So I'm going to talk about King Solomon, because the story of Solomon parallels what we have today. And I have to thank my friend, goes by the handle Tokyo Tengu. He lives, an American expatriate, lives in Japan. And it's kind of weird because he gave me this take like almost immediately after I went off the air last week. He put this in the little Facebook chat group that I send out to people, you know, let them know what I'm talking about. And I kind of upbraided him for saying, you know, you should have given me this before I went on the air, because this is good stuff. But he observed that it was, I could talk about this pretty much any time. So I'm going to not, but I'll acknowledge him, because I would not have come up with this without a little push. But yeah, thinking about it, it's pretty obvious. And what I'm talking about is the story of Solomon and the women and the thing. Well, just, you know, since I got a few minutes left here, and in case you don't know the thing, I will read the story from the Bible. It's just a couple paragraphs. It's first book of Kings, chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. And I am reading from the English Standard Version. Okay. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then, on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born. But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours.' The first said, 'No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine.' Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, 'The one says, "This is my son that is alive, and your son is dead." And the other says, "No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one." And the king said, "Bring me a sword." So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." And the king answered and said, "Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother." And all of Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that he had the wisdom of God in him to do justice. Okay. That's the story from the Bible. Now, how does that apply today? You know, at the top of the show, I promised I might give you a little analogy from the game of poker. Here's the way I see it. In the story, the first woman, she checked. If you don't know what a check means, if you don't play poker, a check means is basically it's a bet of zero. You're not betting, you're passing to the other person. Now, when a poker player checks, that can mean different things. Might mean that they're kind of ready to give up on the hand, just fold. Or it could be used to induce the other player to make a bet, and then you might raise. That's what they call a trap in poker. What I see, the first woman in the story of Solomon, she simply wanted to preserve the life of her child. Because in poker, there's a saying, as long as you've got a chair and a chip, you still have a chance to win. She wanted to keep her child alive so she could stay in the game and maybe, I don't know, gather some evidence. Win later. The second woman in the story, she was acting like somebody who really didn't have anything to lose. It's like if she was playing poker, somebody had staked her in the game. She was playing with somebody else's money. She wanted to win, but if she lost, no worse off than she was before she sat down. So she basically made a bet. She thought the other woman would fold. So she said, just kill the child and we'll be done with it. Figured the other woman had basically indicated that she was going to fold. Okay. King Solomon saw what was going on and he rendered his judgment. Now, what does that have to do with anything today? This is what my friend in Japan pointed out to me. There are people in this country, I won't name names unless their names happen to be the Democrats, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, names like, but I won't mention those names. Oh, did I just do that? Never mind. They are before the king being the voters, and they are saying, give us the child being the United States of America, give us the child or we will be fine with simply destroying it. Now, do they really want the child destroyed, the country destroyed? Of course not. I mean, they're looking to get something. Lord knows, none of those people have what it takes to build a better country. They want to take what is there and have it for themselves. But since they didn't build it, they really have nothing to lose. They're like the second woman in the Solomon story. We're like the poker player who's playing with somebody else's money. They're going to win or they're going to have nothing. But they're not going to be any worse off than they started with. But they think that by making this big bet, we will destroy this if you don't give us our way, that they can induce the rest of us to simply fold our hand, give them control. Now, why would we do this? Chair and a chip, like I said. As long as we preserve something of our country, we will at least have a chance to maybe take it back later on down the line. Of course, the left will do everything they can to keep that from happening. If we fall for that, they'll just keep upping the stakes until, you know, I don't know, as they would say in poker, we're blinded out. Blinded out means if you don't know the game, a blind is a forced bet, and you have to bet. It's like an ante, sort of. Money you have to put into the pot just to play. They'll just keep betting it up, and eventually we'll have to make a big bet, or we'll just lose all our money. That's what they're planning on. So, we have an election coming up, and I'm going to tell you, we, the people of right-thinking America, people who are the people who actually built this country, or the heirs to the people that built this country, we have to play the part of Solomon. I know, trying to be wise is not easy. At least not for me. Maybe for you it is. But we have to see what their game is. We have to pass judgment with the wisdom of Solomon and not let these pretenders, these people who really have no stake in the game, they're just trying to steal it. They're trying to steal the pot in poker. They're trying to steal the child in the Bible story. They're just trying to steal it. We have to understand, like Solomon did, that what they are acting like somebody who doesn't have a legitimate claim. And we have to render the judgment as did King Solomon. And I'm getting short of time here. So, well, thank you for listening. I say hi to Crazy Cajun from WCT Radio and Tim Tapp, who will be coming up, I presume, in about 30 minutes from now, right here on Blog Talk Radio and I guess other places. So, I don't know, just I'm out of here.
Sailing out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely. Way, way, thinking about her, thinking about being home. Can't be there. He's on the sea, thinking about her. Yeah, it's all so true. Sad part, every shade of blue. His life, every shade of blue. Underway in the Navy, he misses her when he is sleeping. He dreams. Special, magical place in her arms. In his mind, he can get away from the ocean. Goes adrift from wave to wave.